If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It is 2:08. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's a Shaletta Brundage. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. And I'm telling you, I hope you are having a happy holidays, and I am trying to keep my chin up. I am trying my best to stay positive and smile. But we have had two major losses here at the good neighbor station. Geraldine Steele suddenly retired from her Sunday night show, Still Talking. She has been doing that show for more than two decades. Such a trailblazer, such an amazing woman. You are not going to find, and you can look, you are not going to find anybody in the great state of Minnesota that has anything negative to say about Geraldine Steele. That is the sweetest and most kind woman I have ever met in my whole life. Now, I'm sure if you push her hard enough, she got a little hot sauce in her, I'm sure. But I've never seen it, and I don't know anybody who has. And it is just, it was sudden. It was a little jolting. It was a little heartbreaking for me because I had just come off the heels of hearing that Jenny Berg was retiring. And so, you know, Jenny Berg is just like a staple. I mean, she is the glue. She is the duct tape. She is holding this whole ship together. So to lose Geraldine and Jenny in the same week, that was a game changer for me. I'm telling you, I've been, and I don't know if y'all have ever experienced this. Like, you know, something just ain't quite right. Like, you don't know why you feel a little off, but you do. Like, I have been feeling like that. Before Geraldine announced that she was leaving and knowing that Jenny was leaving, I was just, my whole body was off. Like, I was putting the dishes away and I was putting the cups where the bowls go, and I was putting the sugar in the refrigerator when it goes in the cabinet, that kind of off. Like, stuff that I would normally do without thinking about it, I had to think about it because everything was just off. You know, since I came back to Minnesota, these two women have just been a part of my life. And to have both of them leave work, my job, at the same time, it was a little bit much. So I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to make sure these holidays are happy. But, y'all going to have to forgive me. Y'all going to have to excuse me. I'm just a little off. So y'all heard me talking over commercials. Just a little off. Just a little off. Because, you know, it's some people.
Partially because of me.
Yeah, that's true, too. But it's just some people in your life that they steady you. They keep you focused. They keep you grounded. They keep you relaxed. If they walk in the room, something about the room gets right. And that's Jenny and Geraldine. You know, how we lose two anchors like that. Let one of these other crazy people go. Like, you know, Chad and Adam, let them go and skip down the street. But, you know, we losing the anchors, the anchor leg. If Geraldine walks in the room and you cutting up, you're going to immediately get right. Jenny Berg walk in the room, you doing something crazy, you gonna stop. Cause these are two elder stateswomen. These are our rocks. So I'm telling you, I'm putting everything up in the wrong location. I'm, you know, cups in cabinets, forks in the spoon drawers. I'm talking over commercials. That's just because everything ain't right. Stuff is just all out of whack. So I don't know where they going to go find another Geraldine and Jenny, but I'm going to need Brad Lane and Lindsay Peterson and whoever else needs to get on the ball and go out and find me another Geraldine and find me another Jenny or bring them back, because this, not during the holiday season. My equilibrium is absolutely off not having these two ladies around. Okay, I just went back and just looked at their mailboxes so I could read their names. I think I'm in a state of denial, trying to stay out of depression, losing two good mothering coworkers. You know, those people that you can go and just stand at their desk and talk about your problems, and they would listen and not judge you, even though you know what you just said is real crazy. And then give you either good, sound, practical wisdom after they ask if it was okay. Or just grabbing your hand and telling you that everything's going to be okay. You know, that's what we lost in Jenny and Geraldine. And to have that again happen in the same week, I'm telling you, I didn't know what was going on with me. I just knew I was off. And it wasn't until, like, I'm telling you, in the break of this show, David Magid called and said, Geraldine's leaving. Oh my God, Geraldine's gone. And I was like, yeah, and Jenny Berg too. I was like, that's what's wrong with me. That's why my equilibrium's off. That's why my life is off. These two powerful, strong, loving, caring women who have just been a part of my WCCO tenure and career, who have loved on me and loved on my children, are no longer here. And so I'm not saying that they're not here. Like, I can still call them if I need them, but it's different. When you walk up to the desk and she's, you know, Jenny's known for having that candy on her desk. So that's the first place my kids want to come when they come to the station. They want to go up to Miss Jenny's desk and get some candy. Now, what are we going to do? Who going to keep the candy bowl stocked up? Because my kids are coming in here looking for the candy. I have not told my kids that Miss Geraldine and Miss Jenny are gone. Because if it's hard for me to process, I'm not going to mess up their Christmas. So I don't know. I might tell them like around Valentine's Day. I don't know when they going to know. But it won't be anytime soon. So listen, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we still are going to chat with my friend, State Senator Kerry Dietzick. And also, there's an event or something going on in North Minneapolis. They got like 600 baskets and boxes of stuff that they're putting together for underserved children who otherwise wouldn't have a Christmas. I don't know what's going on. I got to find out what it is and who's behind it. We'll have more on that story next. It is 2:18. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Now, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I always have my ear to the street. And even when I'm in the studio, someone will call me and say, did you hear about this? Or they'll send a text message and say, why aren't you talking about that? Or they'll send an email and say, you know, you haven't said anything about this. I just wanted to make sure you were aware. And I've gotten several messages today from folks out in the community saying there's something going on in North Minneapolis. We've got like 600 boxes or baskets or something, and they're giving them to underserved kids who wouldn't otherwise have a Christmas. And we're not sure who's doing it, but you sure need to talk about it. And I was like, yeah, I do. So I did a little digging while we were in commercial break, and turns out it's my friend Dr. Verna Price, and I've got her on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline, pulled her clean out of her event so she can explain to me what is going on at the Power of People Leadership Institute. What fabulous thing are you doing this week, Dr. Verna, that I gotta find out about in the street?
I know, and I barely got the phone call, Miss Shaletta, because there's like 25 people here in our office, and we're packing. We thought it was 600. It's more like 675 gift bags for students across the Twin Cities and also St. Cloud. And it's amazing. Our office is like buzzing, and there's toys everywhere, and there's stuff happening. And every time we finish a school, you know, Robbinsdale Middle, 50 students, then all the volunteers go woohoo, and so we know like all there's woohoo going on all over the office. Amazing, amazing. Like we're just like screaming and yelling and having a good time.
And you always are such a blessing to this community. How did this initiative get started with the gift baskets and the kids?
Sure. You know what? We teach our students that they are important and lovable, and we teach them that they're valuable. But it's one thing to have words. It's another thing to have a gift in your hand come the Christmas and holiday season. So I made it a point, and I said, you know what? We're not just going to teach our students words, because these are all students in our programs. Boys of Hope and Girls Taking Action, right? So at the Power of People Leadership Institute, we're like, we are going to show our students that we care, physically show them. So come next week in all of our schools, 25 Girls Taking Action schools, 15 Boys of Hope schools, every student, all 675 of them, will receive a beautiful gift bag with just loaded with toys and snacks and, you know, personal items and everything that they may need, hats, gloves, the whole thing. And they will have that, and they will know. And they'll also have a Christmas holiday card from us saying, we care, and we are here for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Verna, let me just say, you have, for the past 12 years, graduated thousands of girls and boys from your Girls in Action and Boys Taking Hope. You dedicate so much of your time and your finances, you know, through the foundation, as well as your personal finances, taking these at-risk young people from almost dropping out of school, being suspended, being expelled, to actually being college graduates. So in addition to that, you know, I would think, you know, y'all know I care. All the, you know, what I put into you, I'm giving you my time, I'm giving you my resources, I'm giving you, you know, my life. But you said, I got to do a Christmas gift, I got to do a Christmas drive and get these toys.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I have to say, our community stepped up. You know, they were dropping off boxes and boxes of toys and, you know, hot chocolate and socks. And one woman, she had a woman at her church, and she hand knit 20 sets of warm slippers and hats and gloves for our students. Hand knit. Just beautifully done. So people just from everywhere have been so kind and so gracious, and they've given us so many things for our young people. You wait till you see these pictures coming out of here, Ms. Shaletta. It's pretty amazing. I'm amazed myself. And
I
even my 87-year-old mother is here, and she's sitting in a chair, and she's putting the card in which we put into every bag. We put a card, a greeting card, into every bag, and that's what her job is. But everyone has a job here, and it's amazing.
It is. I can't wait to see it. It sounds like an amazing undertaking. Again, my phone was blowing up about it. Folks were wondering why I wasn't talking about it, why I didn't know about it. So I had to do my due diligence and get the word out. Now, for folks, Dr. Verna, who are listening to you for the first time, you know, they may know you as a best-selling author. They may know you as a executive coach. But, you know, one of the ways that we met was through your foundation. Talk to folks who don't know and may be hearing for the very first time about Girls in Action and Boys of Hope.
Sure, sure, sure. So I am the co-founder with my husband, Brother Shane Price, of the Power of People Leadership Institute. And the Power of People Leadership Institute has two youth programs, Girls Taking Action, which actually provides person development and leadership development empowerment programs to girls grades 6 through 12. 90% of our girls are black and brown girls. And our Boys of Hope program also does the very same thing to our boys with the same demographic. And however, our programs are open to all girls and all boys. We are across the Twin Cities metro area. But I work really hard to provide mentors to all of our 675 young people. They are mentored every week by a mentor who's trained on our curriculum to teach them how to find their power and how to use their power in a positive way in our communities and in their lives and in the world. And so that's what we've been doing for 18 years. We've reached over 6,000 girls and over 1,000 boys with our program.
and it's been around for more than a decade. How many people do you, how many young people do you have signed up this year, Dr. Vernon?
Well, how many, we probably had almost 1,000 students sign up. We literally have waiting lists at schools to get into our programs now. And that's because there's, I'm telling you, there's such a need, Michelle, that our young people are yearning for someone to say something good to them, for someone to tell them it's going to be okay. And they need mentors. So for those people who are listening, thinking, well, what can I do? You know, go to our website, popinstitute.org, sign up to be a volunteer. Go to our website, popinstitute.org, and give. If you can't volunteer, just go ahead and give to support this work, because it is, it's what I call gritty community work. It is hands-on. Like, we are in the lives, in the homes of our young people. And like you said, many of these young people are young people who the schools sometimes have given up on. Sometimes their parents have given up on them. And so they have a lot going on, and we are determined to let them know that they are valuable, important, lovable, and powerful people in this world, and we are on their side.
Okay, now, when are you going to give the gifts out?
Well, okay, so next week we're giving the gifts out to all the different schools, and so it's going to be big, big fun, and I can't wait. We're going to have, you know, we're going to be taking pictures and videos as we go to each school and watch them, you know, get into their gifts and enjoy it.
And, you know, I just, it's not lost on me that a lot of these families are in underserved communities, and this may be the only Christmas gift they get.
Yes, ma'am. Well, that has been my experience, you know, and I don't want one of our students, there should be not one of them without a gift. If they got a gift from nowhere else, they would have gotten a gift from the Power People Leadership Institute, Girls Taking Action, or Boys of Hope program. So I just want to make sure that they know. I don't just tell you that I love you. They know I love them. And I'm loving them by showing them with a gift.
Okay. Now, do we have any special sponsors we need to thank? Because I know that this is what you do, putting together communities of folks, corporations, as well as regular folks like me who just come together and make this happen, because you can't do it by yourself. So I know there's some special people that I know you want to give a shout out to.
Absolutely. Marsden. Absolutely. 3M. Blue Cross Blue Shield, General Mills, we have Medtronic in the house. I mean, we have like a whole set of Aveda, Estee Lauder. Yes, a whole set of people to thank. And then all of our board members who bought things, and all of our lead mentors who bought things. It's all happening. Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Verna, I know you got to get back to the program and putting this stuff together for these kids. I cannot wait to see the pictures. I cannot wait to see the smiles on their faces. Thank you for being such a bright light and caring about these kids and making our community better. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Michelle. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Love you, too. All right, y'all, stick around. We've got more to come. I got a colonoscopy scheduled on Thursday. Not because I wanted to, but because she told me to. Who is she? Because y'all know everybody can't tell me what to do. She's one of the few people who can. Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick is joining me now on the Shaletta Show. And I'm doing it, girl. It's on the books. I'm getting it done. I'm getting it done.
I love it.
I'm getting it
I
done.
I love it. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate that. I encourage everybody to get out there and get those wellness checks. Get your mammogram, which I know you got. Get your pap smear, get your colonoscopy, get your prostate check for men. You need to do those wellness checks because they can save lives. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for talking about it.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm open, I'm out, I'm honest. And, you know, you told me something, you know, when you revealed to us, you know, your health challenges and what you were going through. The one thing that you encouraged us to do was get checked, get to the doctor, make sure everything is up to date, make sure we have our screenings done. And you know, I'm sitting on here on the radio telling everybody and realize I hadn't even done it myself.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of people. They realized they didn't do it. And I found my cancer with just a normal, went in for my normal checkup, and they kind of called and said, yeah, we want you to come back. Something was, you know, a little unusual, and I didn't think nothing of it. And then, sorry, I'm in a big room. And then they call back and say, no, we want you to see an oncologist. And I'm like, you know. So I encourage everybody to get tested because you just never know.
Yeah. And how are you doing? Folks are already texting and DMing me. Ask her how she's doing. How's everything going? How does she feel?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Knock on wood. I can't complain. I feel so blessed and privileged to have, you know, every day to be working on behalf of the state of Minnesota, feeling strong and just love talking and working with people.
And, you know, one of the things that I just so admired about you was your perseverance, how during the last session, you know, with everything that you had to do and everything that you had going on in your life, you stayed the course and helped hold everything together and made sure that, you know, our legislature got to the finish line and we were able to pass some historic reforms. And Minnesota is now looked at by other states as an example of what can be done when government comes together and works together.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. That's what it was, you know, deep down. I experienced some challenges and I thought, you know what, I'm so lucky. I have a job where I can sit home and do my work from home. So many people can't do it. And so many people have, you know, barriers and challenges. And so what can I do to help them make their life easier? And that's what so motivated me to make sure we pass stuff like Restore the Vote, Drive License for All, the Crown Act, Juneteenth state holiday, paid family medical leave, funding for more accessible child care, funding for housing, funding for school meals for kids so they're not hungry.
Hello. Do you know my baby came home the other day and I said, well, Cameron, I said, you haven't asked me to put any money on your books for lunch. And she said, well, Mom, you know that, they have this new thing at schools where, you know, the meals are free. And I had to just take a moment and silently thank you and Melissa Hortman and, you know, Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan for the work that you are doing, because even the children are seeing the impact. Yep. You know, it's one thing to list off all the accomplishments, right? The food shelves,
right.
The tax cuts, the catalytic converters,
yep.
Which, you know, they stole one of mine. So thank you, girl. I sure appreciate that, because that is not a cheap thing. They stole it off the RV. They stole it off the RV, girl.
$1,000.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So it's one thing to list all of this. But when I had my daughter come home to remind me about the work that's done and how it's actually impacting people, that's a whole nother ball game.
That's what we wanted to do. It's how is that impacting people? And some of these bills, like the child, like the school meals or the lunchbox tax credit, because you're not paying for the meals, but you also don't have to make them. I mean, that's time consuming when you got to make the meals and scrambling for you to get off to work and to get your kid to school. That's time consuming. So some will have immediate effect. And then some, like paid family medical leave, it'll take a while because we're still implementing that. But think about somebody who, again, has major surgery, has cancer. What do they do when they can't go back to work right away? But how do they pay their bills?
Mm-hmm.
So they're worried about, I can't lose my home. How do I take care of myself? So this, you know, paid family medical leave will help them. Most of the major companies, I think all of the major large companies here in Minnesota offer it. And so it's not anti-business. Businesses offer it because that's what workers want. And so we just want to give that opportunity for every worker to have that, because that is economic stability for everybody across the state.
Okay, now the legislature is going to kick off on February the 12th. We're talking about what's already passed. What's coming up? Talk to me about the economic outlook and the forecast and the projections for 2024 for the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, so there's a lot of global unrest and economic uncertainties. And so, you know, we kind of take that with a grain of salt, and there'll be another budget forecast in February. But right now, Minnesota is doing really strong. Minnesota is the unemployment is lower than the national average. Employment participation is higher than the national average. We have the highest number of people working across the state than ever. And so our economy is very diverse, and so it is going strong. And we just need to figure and make sure that it's going strong. We will come back next year, and we want to make sure, is the school meals working the way we want it to? Is the free college tuition that we will now offer for families and kids making less than $80,000 a year, because we want to get them into school. We need more educated workers. Well, this is one way. If you are coming from a family that doesn't have a lot of wealth, it doesn't matter if you get a grant or if you got to take a loan. I mean, I know it scared the daylights out of me when my loan started getting, you know, $10,000. And that was many, many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This will help people get in and at least get a few years under their belt and will help fill the jobs that are out there. You know, there's critical jobs in healthcare that pay good money. There's critical jobs. We did a $2.6 billion bonding bill. Those are jobs in local community that puts money in local communities. So if you want to be a carpenter, if you want to be a pipe fitter, if you want to be an electrician, I mean, they are always looking for people to work. So, you know, contact them. And so some of this free tuition and free college will help people get into those jobs where we need more workers. So we're going to look at that to make sure what we passed last year, is it being implemented? Is the implementation started? Do we need to do anything and tweak anything? So we're going to look at that. And then we're out having meetings with our constituents and listening to what they're saying. And we're going to listen to, you know, what are they telling us? What's important to them? So we're going to, you know, keep working on that to make sure that the work we are doing benefits and uplifts the most people across the state.
Now, I have to ask you, of all the things that you all did last year, the historic reforms, the new laws, the legislation that was passed, what were you the most proud of?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's like asking who your favorite kid is.
I have really a favorite. Hard. I tell the other ones to their face, Brandon is it. Be nice to Brandon. The money is not getting split four ways. Brandon's getting everything. So be nice to Brandon. So that's not hard for me.
It's hard for me. But I think it's what I'm... What I think is I'm most proud about is, you know, we passed a lot of individual bills, and we had, we represent people from northern Minnesota, rural small towns up north, to, you know, a lot of regional centers around the state, to suburbs, to the urban core, and we have very different neighborhoods that we represent. But we came together, we listened to each other, we talked about what our communities need, we talked about, you know, what bills. You know, if somebody had some concern about this bill, it wasn't like, oh, I just don't like that bill. People talked to each other. Members talked to each other and said, I can't vote for this line. Can you change this? Can we find a way to change this? Because this is what my community is telling me. So we worked really hard with each other, with the House, even with Republicans. They like to say we didn't listen to them, but we took a lot of Republican amendments to make these bills better and to make it work and uplift the most Minnesotans. So what I think is most proud about is that we stuck together and we talked to each other to get the job done for the state of Minnesota.
Well, I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show. You got to tell us, what are your Christmas plans? What you got going on?
I don't know yet. How about you?
You don't know yet? It's coming up. You know, I know it's green grass. It's no snow. So it's tricking us. We think it's like September or October, but it's not. It's like coming up in a couple of weeks.
I know. I suppose I need to like figure out where I'm supposed to be.
Yes, ma'am. You might be out of town. So we are going to Houston. We're going to visit.
Awesome. Good to your family.
Yeah, we're going to visit Houston. And so we're going to go. We're going to take the RV. We're going to go hang out. I'm going to drop my kids off at my mama's. And then I'm just going to go to the RV and just go to sleep. That's my plan. I'm going to sleep right through the holidays because they'll be with their grandma. They, you know, when I drop them off with their mama, I tell them, call me Miss Shaletta. I'm not even your mama right now. Call me Miss Shaletta, and Grandma will take care of you. So that's what we'll be doing. But I just want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. It's so good to hear your voice and you know, just have your leadership there, you know, through the adversity and everything that you've gone through, how you have made sure that we, our legislature stay together, get these historic reforms passed. And I just have to tell you, I've seen and heard from so many families who have moved to Minnesota from other parts of the country after this last legislative session because they see the emphasis on families.
Yep. Yep. We want to make it the best place to raise kids and to be a family.
Yeah.
So, and I also want to thank you for all that you're doing for, you know, getting your colonoscopy and talking about that, but also all that you do to uplift other businesses, and especially businesses of color and Black businesses. I look forward to seeing you at the Capitol and talking to everybody.
Yes!
And learn more about how we can help these small businesses, how we can help them so that they thrive, because we need to find ways to make sure everybody thrives and has the opportunity to succeed. Somebody told me that talent is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. So how do we make sure that opportunity is equally distributed and everybody has a chance to succeed?
I'm putting that on a T-shirt. Senate Majority Leader Carrie Desick joining us on The Shaletta Show. Thank you for coming, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year again.
Thank you.
All right.
You too. Talk to you later.
All right. You all stick around. There's more to come. He's not working 9 to 5. He's coming on at 3 o'clock. He's Steve Thompson joining me right now. Steve, what is going on, brother?
Well, I say this a lot during the week at my full-time job when people ask. I say another day at the mill. It's all good. We went out, ran some errands. I was going to tell you, Shaletta, it is an annual tradition in our house where we get together between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we make typically every year 50 pounds of a sausage recipe that my grandma and her cousins made, and it's a recipe that came over from Sicily whenever, 100 years ago or whatever. And we get together. Now, my grandpa and my great uncles, they would get together and do it. Then my dad and that generation got involved. And now it's kind of been passed down, and now we make it. So that's what we're going to do. So I picked up all the ingredients to make 50 pounds of spicy pork sauce.
Okay, that sounds delicious, and I just need to know where the drop-off line is. Do you have a drive-through where we just come up and roll a window down and you throw sausage in the window? I just don't want to miss out on the distribution because you got 50 pounds of homemade pork sausage. I need to get on the invite list.
Well, here's the thing. I will get you some because I would love to get your opinion.
Okay.
And I'm not bragging. It is not my recipe. It's just been handed down to me. And the wherewithal to make it. And some of the equipment to make it. But the thing about it is, everyone who's had it said, that is really good. And I won't give you all the ingredients, but it's kind of a fennel. It's a fennel sauce, so it's got a little bite to it. It is
okay.
Quite
so,
good.
What are you doing with it? Are you putting it on the bun? Are you putting it on the crack? I mean, how do you all eat it? I need to know so I can do it properly.
So what we do is we stuff it in casings. We have some loose, and it's really good if you brown it in a skillet. Maybe put it on a homemade pizza. It's really good that. But typically we make it in links. And then what I do is I bake it, and then I simmer it in another family recipe sauce, and that's a big Christmas meal, and I make meatballs and that sort of thing. And I learned this over years from my grandma, and she kind of taught me all the tricks, and my siblings never really got into it all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody in the family got a hang of it, but I really spent a lot of time with my grandma. When she was with us, kind of learning how to do it her way.
So, the right way. Because whatever way grandma did is the right way. Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's good on the grill. You can throw it on the grill in the summer. But like I say, it's a little spicy. Some kids may not like it, but I've never run into an adult who is a meat eater that doesn't like this particular sauce recipe. But I think it's best with a red sauce and some meatballs over pasta, etc. But I'll make sure I'll get you some.
Okay, so can I tell you why I'm mad at you right now? Because
why is that?
I'm going to tell you why I'm mad at you. Because the businesswoman in me hears Steve's grandma sausages and Hy-Vee stores all across the Midwest. I see an opportunity to make some money. Because, you know, I'm a hustler, so I'm always looking for ways to make money. Your grandmama's face on the cover of the sausage, Steve.
That's
Steve,
right.
You're sitting on a $1 million idea over here, Steve, with the sausages. You could retire us both because everybody loves a good homemade pork sausage.
I will say it is. I don't do much very well, but I learned this, and it's pretty good stuff. And so I'm kind of excited about that. We're going to do that tomorrow. My daughter and her boyfriend help out. Michelle will help out. And then I have a couple of cousins that come and help, and it's good because it's kind of a closely held secret the recipe. I will tell you, there is fennel in there. But
Steve, you got to market this. You got to put it together. Yeah, you got to start selling it. We're going to get you a little booth. We're going to start small. We're going to get you a little booth over at the farmer's market. And then we're going to try to work our way up to the fair. And then we're going to get you a little storefront.
If you could get me into the fair,
Steve.
Now we'd really have something there. Because I think this, with the family recipe meatballs and sauce, that would sell at the fair.
Oh, my God. Steve, you would have one of those lines where everybody's like, are you guys lining up for the – Steve, you're leaving too much money on the table. Steve, yeah. Come on. Really?
Well, no. But I will share, and since Josh Wheeler is overhearing this, I'll get some to Josh as well so he can give it a try if he's into that sort of thing. But, yeah, I'm really excited about it because it's one of these things that we've done ever since I was a little boy around the holidays is get together and make it. And there's great stories about the old days when my grandpa and, say, his brother-in-laws would get together and they would make this thing because he was 100% German. And my grandma, on my mom's side, was 100% Sicilian. But what my grandpa did is he kind of took this where people would, you know, throw this and that in there. He was an engineer by trade. And he got this recipe down in writing so they could make it the same every year. Because some years, depending on how much they had to drink, it was a little spicy. or they forgot to put enough salt in it or whatever. And he said, no, we're not doing that anymore. And, oh, by the way, keep your cigarettes, you know, out of the way of the making, you know, he kind of got them
all straight,
if you will.
But you know, this is the good part, Steve, is that you are passing this down. So many of our, so much of our heritage, so many of the things that we've done for generations are getting lost on that next generation. Your kids really enjoy this bonding time and putting this together because you know we aren't doing that like we used to.
Yeah, and they're a part of it. And that's what's great about it. So they kind of understand what goes into it, and I think they really like that. And I think any family traditions like that, like, you know, getting together and bake cookies, whatever that family recipe is, I think that's the stuff that makes the season, Shaletta.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I just love
stuff
it.
With the
I just
kids,
love it.
Yeah.
And I had a dream about my grandmother last night when you were talking about your grandmother. I was very close, like you are to your grandmother. I was very close to my grandmother. Even in college, me and my girlfriends would go and sleep over at her house just to, make her feel loved. And so last night she came to me in a dream and she was holding my shoulders and I felt that. I felt her. And I just, you know, this morning when I was having my quiet prayer time, I just cried and I just thank God for giving me an opportunity to spend some time in my dreams with her. To have those things passed down to your children. It's not just you passing them down, but part of that is your grandmother still spending time with them.
Well, and one of the things she would do on sausage day is she would grab a sample because most of it gets stuffed in the casings.
Yeah.
You know, so it turns into links and so on and so forth. But she would always grab some and she'd bring it into the kitchen. And while we were continuing to stuff it, and weigh it and put it in bags and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of stories around that as well. But she would always fry some up, you know, and let everybody have a taste.
Just a taste.
It does change. It does change over time. Right away, it's really spicy, and then it mellows over time.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's been in the fridge or the freezer and you bring it out, heat it up. But nevertheless, that's one of the things we still do to this day. Oh, we got to try some. And then everyone kind of says, oh, and we say the same thing every year. Oh, this is a good bag.
That's
a good
bag. But Steve, how long does it take, like from beginning to end, when you start it and you finish? How long is the process? Is it like a whole day, half a day, a couple of hours?
I would say 3 or 4 hours because I've already got the pork. I already have the casings. I already have the spices. I can mix that in my sleep, get it to, and then by the time you stuff it and clean it up, so my goal is get started by 11 and be done by 3:05 when the Vikes and Raiders start. So, you know, 3-4 hours. So it isn't an all-day deal, but it's great to hang out. It's a great tradition, yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, I can't wait to try it and taste it. And I'm hoping you
let me help you
market this thing so that we can both get rich. Steve Simpson's Grandma Sausages coming to a Hy-Vee near you. I am speaking it into an existence. He's coming near you because his show is coming up. That's it for the Shaletta Show. You all have a great weekend.